This is Jim Sperry. It's March 23rd, 2012, Forward Operating Base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan. I have saved the best for last because this man has a very important name. Please tell me your name.
Specialist Jesse Ochoa.
You see, Jesse, my son was Jesse, the one that we lost, so I love your name. It's a good name. Tell me what you do.
I'm a mechanic and crew chief on these Blackhawks, these medical Blackhawks.
How old are you, Jesse?
I'm 24.
And how long have you been in the National Guard?
I've been in the National Guard 3 years now.
Whose idea was it to join? What gave you the idea to join the Guard?
Myself. Thought of it on my own and just kind of followed through with it.
So you joined at about 20, 21 years old?
Yes, sir.
What did you do after school until you were 21?
I attempted going to college for a couple of years and just worked miscellaneous jobs.
And then joined the Guard. Do you come from a military family at all?
Yeah, I joined the Guard after that. I do come from a military family. My father was in the Marines and then retired National Guard. He was in the Vietnam War, and my grandpa was in the Army as well. He was a nurse.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Carlsbad, New Mexico.
And that's where they have really good baseball and a New Mexico hero, right?
Yes, sir.
Jason Cunningham is from Carlsbad, right?
Yes, sir, he is.
And do you currently reside in Albuquerque, or do you still live in Carlsbad?
I reside in Albuquerque. Yeah, I work in Santa Fe full-time.
So you're a full-time guard, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you've been out here at Edinburgh for a while. All told up, how much time do you figure you spent here at Eddy?
I got here January 14th. About 2.5 months.
And it was pretty busy in the month of January, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. It was pretty steady.
When you saw what you saw here, did you find yourself prepared for this at age 24 and the things that you assist in life-saving and the horrific injuries that you see upon the Marines and the ANA and the locals? Were you prepared for that?
It was an eye-opener to say that. My first mission, it was pretty intense, you know. I mean, first time at bat. So I like to say I was prepared, because I prepared myself by expecting the unknown and not knowing what's going to happen. So I think I embraced it well.
Is there one day that you will say that you will remember more than all the other days of your entire deployment here?
Yeah, there'll definitely be more than one day that I remember more than the other, but I think the most memorable day will be when I leave here.
Yeah, you won't forget leaving, huh?
Yes, sir.
The name of my project is 10 years later. Going back in time, 10 years ago, you were 14 years old. Do you remember what you were doing about 10 years ago? Do you recall what you were doing, your sports you were playing, or what was going on when you were 14 years old?
I was going to school. I was playing football. I was a young kid hanging out with my buddies all the time, so yeah.
Your generation has been growing up with war for the past decade. Did you ever think at 14 years old when you were playing ball in Carlsbad that you'd 10 years later you'd be here picking up Marines and help saving their lives?
Honestly, I'd say no, because growing up my dad would always tell me to go to school and don't do what he did. You know, he wanted something better, because he served in the military and he just wanted something better for us. He wanted us to pursue an education. And at 14, I remember seeing all this happen and thinking, you know, I need to go to school. I need to get this done, because, you know, I want to make my dad happy. I want to follow my dad's words.
Have you had conversation with your father since you've been out here at Eddy at all, either by mail or phone or anything?
Yeah, I talk to him on the phone occasion. He's a busy guy, so I get a hold of him every once in a while.
Were you able to convey to him how serious a job you have out here?
My dad's pretty aware of how busy Dustoff is, you know, coming from Vietnam when Dustoff was a really big deal. I mean, it's still a big deal, but my dad knows what I do.
Do you think you'll sit down and have a beer with your dad?
Yeah, My dad doesn't drink, but I'll definitely sit and have some coffee with him.
Well, there you go. That's a good one to do. What would you like to convey to everybody back in New Mexico that maybe they don't understand or see, or that you'd like to leave them with the impression that you learned here?
It's tough work. I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone's aware of that, but from all the guys we have here, I mean, we work 24/7, and we all love what we do. Sometimes we complain about, you know, waking up sporadically through the night to go on a mission, but deep down inside, I'm pretty sure all of us enjoy getting up and going to provide medical care to people that need it. I mean, that's what we're here for.
The one thing I want to bring out in our conversation here is the crew chiefs do all the maintaining of the aircraft. And what a lot of people don't realize is you did this without a Delta company, right?
Yes, sir.
Can you explain what that is to the audience that doesn't understand?
Delta company is our maintainers that aren't on flight status. Their sole mission in the war zone is just to provide maintenance coverage on these aircraft.
About how many people would be in a Delta company?
For a unit our size, I would say it'd be anywhere from 20 to 40 people.
Okay, so anywhere from, you know, 20 to 40 people strictly to maintain the aircraft. But you guys had a big surprise when you got here, right?
Yeah, it was definitely an eye-opener because we're flying a lot of hours, and it takes a lot of maintenance man hours to maintain our flight hours. So it was.
And the Delta company wasn't here, right?
Negative. It was us crew chiefs, man. We're ripping it up.
And for example, you have four birds here that you maintain, and there's how many of you here?
There's five mechanics here, and four aircraft.
And these guys are all always flying too.
Yes, sir. We are flying a lot.
So I really want to get this point across that what you guys did in the New Mexico Guard, specifically the crew chiefs and the maintainers, was you did twice the work with a whole lot less than half the people.
Yeah, we did twice the work with half the people, but a lot of it goes to our training. Like, a lot of the older mechanics that are around really, really built up something good inside of us younger tangos, so we have confidence in our maintenance ability, and that really has a lot to do with it. These older guys showing us the ropes and really helping us along. You know, sometimes they're tough on us, but tough is what you need to get the job done.
What'd you miss most while you were gone?
I miss the little things. I miss being able to walk around barefoot, not leave my house to use the restroom, get water from a water fountain. You know, the little things is what I miss the most.
Yeah, clean water's a precious one, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it sure is.
In New Mexico, and especially Carlsbad, I mean, you have hot weather down there, but it's a little hotter here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot hotter here. I thought it was hot down in southern New Mexico, but it gets pretty hot over here.
And this dust is a little bit different. That must wreak havoc for you guys from time to time. I saw you washing the helicopter the other day.
Yeah, it gets pretty dusty, and it does get to these helicopters pretty good.
I didn't know they were green. I mean, look at that one. I thought it was brown.
Yeah, they're green. Sometimes they look brown because all the oil and dust that cakes on them, but they are green.
And if I'm not mistaken, you guys are called Desert Dust Off, right?
Yes, sir. We're Desert Dust Off. That's what the 101st nicknamed us, because we tried to go by Lobo Dust Off, but there's a Lobo Assault Unit, so they deemed us Desert Dust Off.
Well, that'll work. As we're sitting here looking at the sun go down here at the end, it kind of looks like New Mexico between, like, Socorro and TRC or something, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, it does.
Jesse, what does the future hold for you? What do you plan on doing?
Well, right now I'm just planning on going home and seeing my son. I saw my son when he was 2 weeks old. Now he's going to be 6 months. So go and get to know him and get to know my daughter again, and just go back to work.
Tell me a little bit your family, their names and all, and who you want to say hi to.
My wife's name's Amy, daughter's name's Elsie, and my son's name's Jesse.
A good name.
Yes, sir.
Very good name. I really like that name a lot, Jesse. I want to thank you for letting me ride with you, and you're among a very select few. I don't listen to very many people on the planet, but I seem to listen to the crew chiefs.
That's a good thing, because we're here to make sure you're safe.
It was really fun to fly with you, Jesse. Thank you for taking time out. I know that you'll be home soon, and I look forward to seeing you on the flip side.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your life to come out here and spend time with us. We really enjoyed having you out here.
It's my honor. Thank you very much. This is Jim Spiri with Jesse Ochoa, crew chief with the dust-off, the Desert Dust-Off guys from the New Mexico National Guard on March 23rd, 2012, forward operating base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan.